All right, 1 Samuel 25. I want to share with you the story of Beauty and the Beast for Mother's Day. I know some of you are like, oh, I thought you were going to preach on Revelation. I just didn't want to preach on judgment and death and all that stuff on Mother's Day, although it's kind of in this anyway. 1 Samuel 25. I want to give you the real story of Beauty and the Beast. Okay? When I was raising our kids, this is the movie I saw. So lots of people have been asking me because they've come out with a new version of Beauty and the Beast. They're like, Pastor, are you going to go see the movie? And I'm like, no, I don't. I've read the story. I've read the book. So I already know it. So I don't need to go see the movie. And they always go, what are you talking about? I'm like, the story of Beauty and the Beast that's found in the Bible. And they're like, it is? I'm like, yeah. I can't believe you don't know the story of Beauty and the Beast. So 1 Samuel 25, and I'm going to start in verse 2. You need your Bibles because it's kind of a long chapter that we got to zoom through. Okay. 1 Samuel 25. Everyone find it in the Old Testament? All right, starting in verse 2. A certain man in Maon who had property there at Carmel was very wealthy. He had 1,000 goats and 3,000 sheep, which he was shearing in Carmel. Hey, let me pray here. Father, may you bless us as we look at your word. May you give us insight. May you do transformation of people's hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So he's very wealthy. He has 1,000 goats, 3,000 sheep, which he was shearing in Carmel. His name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. She was an intelligent and beautiful woman, but her husband, a Calebite, was surly and mean in his dealings. So first, let me share the beast with you. This is Nabal. We are told that Nabal is, in the NIV, it says he's surly, which I'm like, what does that mean? So I looked at other versions, and I think like in the King James Version, it has churlish. So some versions have surly, some have churlish. Does anyone have something different there? A different word? So the word means lacking politeness or good manners, lacking sensitivity, difficult to work or deal with, rude. So Nabal is our beast. He's rude, he's impolite, he's not nice. And then it says he's mean. He's a mean man. You know, he's just mean in all of his dealings. He's like, you don't think I got rich by being nice? I didn't get rich by being nice. I'm rich because I stomped on people and took advantage of weaklings. And I am wealthy. He's also a beast because of his name. Look over at verse. His name is Nabal. Look at verse 25. We think it was a nickname that he got when he was younger. Verse 25, we read, may my Lord pay no attention to that wicked man Nabal. He is just like his name. His name is Fool, and folly goes with him. That actually is his nickname, is a fool. He's a fool. He was obviously a foolish young man, and it just stuck with him. Now, in Psalms 14:1, it says that the fool says in his heart, there is no God. But actually, in the Hebrew, the word there is not there. What that verse actually says in the Hebrew is, the fool says in his heart, no God. It could apply to atheists who say there is no God, but it also applies to anyone who just says to themselves, whether they believe there's a God or not, says to themselves, no God. I'm not interested in God. No God for me. And that's Nabal. He's a fool because, as we'll see, no God for me. I'm my own God. I'm my own boss. And that's why he's the beast in our story. But let's talk about the beauty. Abigail is the beauty. And we're told, now, in the Old Testament, let me tell you this before this, in the Old Testament, there are exactly 7 women that are called beautiful in the Old Testament. Sarah was one of them, Rebecca, Esther. I'm not going to tell them all to you. You'll have to research for yourself. But there are 7 women in the Old Testament that are referred to as beautiful. But Abigail is the only woman who is referred to as intelligent and beautiful. And the intelligent in the Hebrew comes first, meaning that's even more important. She's intelligent first, and she's beautiful. And of course, I believe that many, many women in this church fit that description of being intelligent and beautiful. And men, if you want to win bonus points, when you go home, if you say, yeah, that pastor was talking, you're one of those, dear. Okay? So that is Abigail. So let's look at the story of Beauty and the Beast. So verse 4. While David was in the desert, he heard that Nabal was shearing sheep. So he sent 10 young men and said to them, go up to Nabal at Carmel and greet him in my name. Say to him, and David says, I want you to do a threefold blessing for Nabal. And here's the threefold blessing. Say to him, verse 6, long life to you, good health to you and your household, and good health to all that is yours. Verse 7, now I hear that it is sheep shearing time. When your shepherds were with us, we did not mistreat them, and the whole time they were at Carmel, nothing of theirs was missing. Ask your own servants, and they will tell you. Therefore, be favorable toward my young men, since we come at a festive time. Please give your servants and your son David whatever you can find for them. When David's men arrived, they gave Nabal this message in David's name. Then they waited. David was acting as protection over all of Nabal's flock and sheep. And we'll see as we read on, he kept the Philistines' marauders from destroying some of Nabal's wealth. And so David, it was customary when someone protected your flock and helped out to give them like a tip, like you would tip a waiter or a waitress in a restaurant. And so David says, hey, we've been helping you out. Could you spare some food for my men? And I have this special blessing for you as well. Nabal, he's the beast. In verse 10, Nabal answered David's servants, who is this David? Who is this son of Jesse? Well, obviously, he even knows who David is. And he's making such a mistake because David, very soon after this, is going to become king over all of Israel. He knows who David is. David's the one who killed Goliath. David is the one who's been leading the Israelites in victorious battles over the Philistines. David is a man who follows after God's own heart. But Nabal's like, who's this David? Who? No God for me. So who's this David? Many servants are breaking away from their masters, he says. Verse 11, why should I take my bread and even my water? I don't even want to give you free water. Why should I take my bread and water and the meat I have slaughtered for my shearers and give it to men coming from who knows where? Verse 12, David's men turned around and went back. When they arrived, they reported every word. And David blows his top. He is so mad. Verse 13, David said to his men, put on your swords. So they put on their swords, and David put on his. I could just see David, Nabal's head is mine. His head's mine. So they put on their swords, David put on his. About 400 men went up with David, while 200 stayed with the supplies. One of the servants told Nabal's wife, Abigail, David sent messengers from the desert to give our master his greetings, but he hurled insults at them. He's a beast. Yet these men were very good to us. They did not mistreat us, and the whole time we were out in the fields near them, nothing was missing. Night and day, they were a wall around us. All the time we were herding our sheep near them. That's a wall of protection from the Philistines who would come and steal sheep and flock. Verse 17. This is the servant. This is one of Nabal's employees. Now think it over, Abigail, and see what you can do. because disaster is hanging over our master and his whole household. This is the employee talking about his boss. He is such a wicked man that no one can talk to him. So not only is Nabal churlish, impolite, rude, not only is he mean, not only is he insulting, but one of his employees said, he is such a wicked guy. I can't imagine being married to a wicked man, a man who likes to rip off people, a man who cheats, a man who's just evil and his talk is mean and he's wicked and he's just gone down the road of no God for me. I'm going to swear. I'm going to curse. I'm just a mean. Well, that's Nabal. And the servant even says to Abigail, and you know that this guy doesn't listen to anyone. He doesn't listen to anyone. See, when men often say, no God for me because I'm my own God, why would I listen to peons like you? You work for me. I'm the rich one. I'm the one that stomped on people. I'm the one that pays your check. I don't need to hear you. Don't speak unless I ask you to speak. He doesn't listen to anyone. Can you imagine being married to a guy that says, I don't want to listen to you, dear. I don't want to listen to your good advice. I'm not interested in what you have to say. Don't tell me about God again. Don't bring up his name in home. And just being married to this brute of a guy. Beauty and the Beast. So she doesn't talk to him either, because he doesn't listen to her. So she takes matters into her hands. Verse 18, Abigail lost no time. She took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, 5 seahs of roasted grain, 100 cakes of raisin, 200 cakes of pressed figs, and loaded them on donkeys. Then she told her servants, go on ahead, I will follow you. But she did not tell her husband Nabal. As she came riding her donkey into a mountain ravine, there were David and his men descending toward her. And she met them there. She met them. David had just said, it's been useless all my watching over this fellow's property in the desert so that nothing of his was missing. He has paid me back evil for good. May God deal with David, be it ever so severely, if by morning I leave alive one male of all who belong to him. When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and bowed down before David with her face to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, my Lord, let the blame be on me alone. This is the beauty, that she is showing Christ's likeness. Let the blame be on me alone. Just like Jesus put all the sins of the world upon me alone. She is taking the blame. She's taking the sin of her husband, Nabal, and saying, put it on me. See, people can't do that unless they're walking with the Lord. You cannot, you're incapable of having that kind of wisdom and ability to want to always blame others. Let the blame be on me. Her Christ-likeness, her spirituality. Verse 25, may my Lord pay no attention to that wicked man Nabal. He's just like his name. His name is Fool and folly goes with him. But as for me, your servant, I did not see the men my master sent. It was really my fault. Don't pay attention to my husband. He doesn't know what he's doing. It's really me. I should have been watching. When your men came, I would have immediately, and I blew it. I should have seen it. It's my fault. What an amazing wife covering up for her husband. Verse 26, she now starts to reason with David. Now, since the Lord has kept you, my master, from bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hands, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, may your enemies and all who intend to harm my master be like Nabal. And let this gift, which your servant has brought to my master, be given to the men who follow you. Please forgive me, your servant's offense. For the Lord will certainly make a lasting dynasty for my master because he fights the Lord's battles. She's a very spiritual woman. She understands that the anointing is on David and he is going to become the king. Let no wrongdoing be found in you as long as you live. Even though someone is pursuing you to take your life, which was King Saul, the life of my master will be bound securely in the bundle of the living by the Lord your God. But the lives of your enemies will be, he will hurl away as from the pocket of a sling. When the Lord has done for my master every good thing he promised concerning him and has appointed him leader over Israel, my master, listen, David, you will not have on your conscience, on his conscience, the staggering burden of needless bloodshed or of having avenged himself. And when the Lord has brought my master success, remember your servant. So here's what this woman says. David, someday, I already, because I'm in tune with God, I already know Samuel anointed you to be the next king. I know the Spirit's with you. You're someday going to be king. And if you kill all the people that you're going to do right now, I mean, I probably understand Nabal, but if you're going to kill all his employees and all the sons and all that stuff, you're going to feel guilt-stricken that you killed innocent bystanders. It's always going to affect your conscience that you needlessly killed others. You should listen to your wives, because women are very good. A godly woman is very good at redirecting our hot heads sometimes to redirect that towards God. So for instance, a lot of men get hot heads just like David. David's a godly man, but he is so mad, he's going to kill everyone. Sometimes, men, you come home from work and you just had it with that boss. You've had it with that employee or employer, whatever. But a good godly woman says, dear, let's remember. Let's give it to the Lord. Let's pray. Don't take revenge. You know, let me help you to calm down and remember that God's in charge and all things are going to work out for the good. See, that's a good woman. Or when a man's riled up about his neighbor or his father or one of his kids or someone else, or a godly woman like redirects that. Don't act rashly. Don't make that mistake. We can't afford that right now. I want to direct you to Jesus and following him. That's what a great... This is why Abigail is the beauty. She's intelligent. She's beautiful. She thinks ahead. She's Christ-like. She knows how to redirect a man back to looking at the Lord. And what does David say? Verse 32, David said to Abigail, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you today to meet me. May you be blessed for your," oh boy, here's another thing about the beauty, "your good judgment and for keeping me from bloodshed this day and from avenging myself with my own hands." See, I can't tell you, you may not know this, but how often do you think I want to quit ministry in 35 years? It isn't every week, maybe every other week or so. But thank goodness for my wife, you know. Or there are times I'm somewhere and I'm like, "Hey, we gotta buy this. I want this. I gotta have this." And my wife's like, "You know, dude, that's not a good financial decision, and we'll be in debt." And then after I sleep about, I think about it, it's like, "Thank you." At the moment, I'm out of my mind, you know. But that's men. Listen to your wives. God gave them to you. They have intelligence. They have beauty. They have good judgment. They're spiritual. Unless, of course, men, you're a beast. Then there's no God for you. And you just do your own thing. Oh, let's see here. Verse 36. When Abigail went to Nabal, he was in the house holding a banquet like that of a king. This is a banquet for himself, probably. He's the king. He's king, not God. He's king. And he's high in spirits and very drunk. So there we go. I told you he's a beast, right? Can you be... I guess I can't imagine being married to a guy that gets drunk every weekend. A guy that already, that servant says, you know, we can't even talk to this guy. He can't even talk to him. So here's Abigail, this beauty, married to this guy that just gets drunk or gets high on drugs and does this every weekend. And I'm like, oh, what a life, what a way to live. To live with a beast who doesn't want God, who's mean, who's rude, who's drunk, who's wicked, who's doesn't listen, don't talk to me, wife, and doesn't listen to his kids and can't listen to anyone, isn't going to listen to God. I'm like, it is really heartbreaking when you meet men like that. So she's smart. So she knows, don't talk to him when he's drunk. I've had guys show up that are drunk, and I spend 3 hours talking with them about the Lord and, you know, about their family and their wives, and I've learned I've wasted my time because the next day they come in and say, Pastor, did we talk? I'm like, oh, what a waste, because they don't even remember. So she waits till the morning. So let me see, where are we? Verse 37. Then in the morning, when Nabal was sober, his wife told him all these things, and his heart failed him, and he became like a stone. He has a massive heart attack, because when he realizes, he's so into himself and so into his wealth and all his employees and how big he runs his company. When his wife informs him, you were that close to having every male being killed and losing everything. And when you don't have God, see, it's even scarier when you don't have God, because your only heaven is right now. Enjoy your money while you got it. When he realized he was that close because of his foolishness, he has a heart attack. Now, I often have seen this very scenario, and often God always gives a chance for repentance during the time after you get struck with something. Often it's like God going, I'm going to give you some time to repent. But in 10 days goes by, and there's no word that Nabal repents. And so after 10 days, God says, you're done. You see the next verse. Here's the interesting thing to me. Do you remember, come back to verse 5. I think to myself, Nabal, you are a fool. Because look at verse 5. Do you remember this? David was a man. He was a man after God's own heart. And I have to believe that God answered David's prayers. And David says to his men, I want to pray a blessing for this guy, Nabal. And what's the threefold blessing? What does David say? I want to pray this for Nabal. What's the first thing he wants to pray for him? To have a long life. And then what's the next two things? That he have good health. So, and I believe God would have answered that. If Nabal had not been a fool and said, no, God, for me. And Nabal says, you know what? This guy's been good. He's helped me. I'm going to change his heart. I want to offer him some food. God said, hey, I'm going to give you a long life. And I'm going to give you health. And for the believer, eternity. But Nabal said, I don't believe in this God stuff. Get out of here with your blessing. So Nabal didn't get a long life, did he? He only got to live a few more days, like 10 more days or whatever it is, and he's dead. So, let's see. Verse 39. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, praise be to the Lord. He's upheld my cause against Nabal for treating me with contempt. He has kept his servant from doing wrong. I didn't take revenge, leave revenge for God, and has brought Nabal's wrongdoing down on his own head. Then David sent word to Abigail, asking her to become his wife. So David's like, this woman is very special. She's intelligent. She's beautiful. She's Christ-like. She shows good judgment. She's kept me. I need a godly woman who keeps me on the right track. She kept me from needless bloodshed and killing people and affecting my conscience. This is an amazing woman. So I would like her to become my wife. Now, I'm sure when the messengers went to Abigail, she says, "Oh, I'm devastated. My husband died. I need to mourn for maybe 2 or 3 years. I've got to think about this before I make a decision." But here's what it says. Verse 40. His servants went to Carmel and said to Abigail, "David has sent us to you to take you to become his wife." She bowed down with her face to the ground and said, "Here is your maidservant ready to serve you and wash the feet of my master's servants." Abigail quickly got on a donkey and, attended by her 5 maids, went with David's messengers and became his wife. There doesn't seem to be any grieving here at all. She's like, "Give me that donkey, man. Let's put it in fourth gear and let's go, or first gear, or whatever." So, women, I commend you because we have many Abigails in our presence. And men, don't be a beast. Don't be churlish, rude, wicked, mean, drunk, can't listen to your wife, no God for you, because you see, God could take you out. Because this is the story of Beauty and the Beast. And the Beast does come to an end, and she winds up with her prince. Right? She winds up with the prince. God says, "You know what? Nabal, I gave you this amazing, wonderful, godly woman, and you don't care at all. I have another husband for her. I've got someone else for her that will be her prince." So men, don't be the beast in the story.